welcome to the Digital Equipment Corporation and Intel conference call. Your chairperson will be Dan Caverly, Director of Digital's Corporate Public Relations. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Monday, October 27th, 1997. Mr. Caverly, please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us. Earlier this morning, Digital and Intel announced that the companies have reached a long-term agreement to expand their relationship and to move to settle their litigation. The news release with details of the agreement is available on Business Wire, PR Newswire, and on the home pages of both companies. With me this morning from Digital is Chairman Bob Palmer and General Counsel Tom Siegman, and from Intel, President Craig Barrett and General Counsel Tom Dunlap. I will now turn the program over to Chuck Malloy from Intel's Public Relations Department, who will give you the ground rules for the teleconference. Chuck?
Thanks, Dan. We will open the teleconference with some short remarks from Mr. Palmer and Dr. Barrett, and then we'll go to a question-answer period. I will moderate that portion of the program. Let's start first with Mr. Palmer. Bob?
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. By now, you've had a chance to look over the material that we released this morning, so I'm not going to go into the details of the agreement. I will take just a moment to explain the primary benefits to Digital and its customers, partners, and shareholders. Before I do, I want to emphasize the fact that this agreement is a win for both companies and for our customers. Digital and Intel have been doing business together for more than two decades. This agreement guarantees that our positive relationship will continue well into the future. I want to underscore the fact that Digital remains fully committed to its dual platform strategy on both Alpha and Intel platforms. Under the agreement, Digital will retain the rights to its Alpha technology, as well as the Alpha and Alpha-related semiconductor design engineering and support teams. Intel will manufacture Digital-designed Alpha microprocessor and related parts for Digital systems under a long-term supply contract. This is a much more efficient business model for us, one that does not require Digital to continue to make substantial and continued investments in semiconductor process development and manufacturing facilities. In fact, our model will be more like Sun Microsystems, although in Digital's case, our manufacturing partner will be the world's premier semiconductor manufacturer. We will benefit from Intel's world-class economies of scale and from their ability to implement leading-edge semiconductor technologies more rapidly than we could afford to do on our own. This will allow us to focus on innovations in Alpha design and systems architecture that will produce even higher levels of performance, price performance, and scalability for our customers. At the same time, we are strengthening our commitment to the Intel architecture. We intend to develop a full line of systems based on the IA64 architecture, beginning with the first implementation, which is known as Merced. And with technical assistance from Intel, we will port Digital 64-bit Unix to IA64. We will also work with Microsoft as it develops a common programming model for Windows NT on both the Alpha and the IA64 architectures. Our objective is to deliver to customers and ISVs common, source code compatible programming models across 64-bit Intel and Alpha architectures for both Digital Unix and Windows NT. In other words, customers can be confident that whether they make a commitment to Digital Unix or to 64-bit Windows NT, now or in the future, their applications will run regardless of whether the underlying hardware is Alpha or IA64. Finally, the agreement supports Digital's growth strategy and our mission, which is to deliver with our partners internet business solutions based on high-performance platforms and services. It will enable us to more sharply focus our investments on strategic growth opportunities, and as a result, it will help us achieve and sustain competitive levels of profitability and growth. Now I'd like to turn it over to Craig Barrett.
Thanks, Bob. I also agree that it's a win-win relationship between the two companies. We believe that the agreement we have reached is good for Intel because it allows us to focus on our core business. First of all, with the purchase of Digital semiconductor operations for about $700 million, we've acquired an up-and-running state-of-the-art fabrication facility at book value to add to our worldwide network of factories. Manufacturing excellence is a strong competency of Intel, and we expect to run this facility fully utilized at a profit. We believe we've gained a valuable asset that can provide additional wafer capacity at the quarter micron technology level. Second, acting as a foundry, for Digital's Alpha line of processors will provide an additional revenue stream to Intel. Third, Intel and Digital have signed a cross-license agreement which eliminates the need for distracting litigation. And finally, Digital's commitment to Intel's IA64 microprocessor family is one more strong endorsement of the IA64 architecture. We have over 30 endorsements, which we announced last week, and with a commitment from Digital, we're adding a leading enterprise system supplier to that roster. So in summary, with an addition of a state-of-the-art fab, new revenue stream, and the endorsement of future systems based on Intel's IA64 family of processors, I think we've reached a very beneficial agreement for Intel.
Thanks, Craig. Thanks, Bob. I'd like to open the call to questions now, but first, two ground rules. First, one question per caller, and second, please stay on today's topic. If you have questions about other business-related matters, please contact your local IR representative or your PR representative. We have only 30 minutes total for this call, less than 25 remaining, so let's move along briskly. Operator?
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, you need to press the 1 followed by the 4 on your push-button phone. One moment, please, for the first question. Bruce Francis with CNBC, please go ahead with your question.
Thank you and good morning. What's the value of the revenue stream for Intel for fabbing Alpha, and will this delay Merced?
Greg?
First of all, we're not going to comment on any of the specifics of the agreement, and secondly, it will not delay Merced one bit.
Does that mean it's not material to Intel?
It means we're not commenting on the details of the contractual agreement between the two companies.
Next question, please.
Andrew Knepp with Bear Stearns, please go ahead with your question.
Could you talk about the financial implications for both companies in terms of the payment or whatever, in terms of whether there's charges or for either company?
This is Craig Barrett. We're buying the semiconductor operations of Digital for essentially netbook value. There'll be no one-time charges associated with the purchase from the Intel perspective.
So it's just a capital spending item for you?
We would just add it to our capital budget.
And what about for Digital?
Well, for Digital, having Intel as the manufacturer with their economy of scale, having them and being able to utilize their process research and engineering rather than continuing to develop and have to invest in advanced process research and engineering is a significant value to Digital, as is the restoration of our longstanding commercial relationship on other Intel product. We believe that Digital is achieving significant financial benefit from this agreement and at an acceptable cost to Intel, which is why this is obviously a win for both companies.
Thank you. Next question, please.
George Ellings, Lehman Brothers, please go to your question.
Thank you. How long will Digital enhance Alpha once IA64 is ready? And also, does this include strong arm? Thank you.
Digital will continue to enhance the Alpha architecture through multiple implementations. We have a technology roadmap which remains unchanged for that, and we feel very confident about the ability to execute that roadmap. With respect to strong arm, it is our intention that the strong arm product and the design engineers associated with that will become part of Intel.
Next question, please.
Mark Edelstone, Morgan Stanley, please go to your question.
Yes, good morning. What's the cumulative investment been so far in the Hudson fab, and what's the utilization there, both in terms of slab capacity as well as equipped capacity?
I'm afraid that's a level of detail that I don't have in front of me. Obviously, we've invested several hundred million dollars in the wafer fab, and it's well known that it is not being fully utilized. One of the keys of this relationship is that Intel will have the products and the ability to fully utilize the facility, turning it into a profitable venture where it has not been previously.
Next question, please.
Dean Takahashi with Wall Street Journal, please go to your question.
Yes, can you say anything about how this deal is structured so that it receives FTC or otherwise government approval, given that the charges that went back and forth about Intel being a monopoly?
Tom Dunlap will take that one.
Hey, We've structured this in a way that there's a very minimal overlap in the products. Digital retains full rights to do their alpha design and alpha manufacturing if they want. And so we think that it should pass the government's review.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Ashok Kumar with Lonebaum, please go to your question.
Will the P2 interface be licensed? And as far as the IA64 goes, will it provide native support for 64-bit Unix, or will you have an FX32-type emulator? And one question for Dr. Barrett. Historically, you've had a copy-exact philosophy in your fab, so will you need to retool the Hudson to accommodate that? Thank you.
Well, I'll start at the back end. We'll maintain the copy-exact aspect as we put our quarter-micron technology in. We'll be running some of Digital's existing technology in basically copying exactly their technology at the start.
Tom, do you want to take the license one?
Yeah, we continue our licensing of the P2 as we've done in the past.
Next question.
Martin Garvey, that was Information Week magazine. Please go to your question. I'm not sure if one of you could answer, who will be responsible for the day-to-day operations, and what does this mean for Digital's ongoing overall strategy? Will it juice up other aspects of the strategy, not being in this part of the business anymore?
Bob?
Well, with respect to the day-to-day operations, once we have the government approval, the day-to-day operations will quite properly be done by Intel, since they will own the asset and have the people working for them. Relative to your question, it doesn't fundamentally change the strategy of the company, which is to provide Internet business solutions with our partners for our customers based on both Intel and Alpha architecture. But it will give us greater flexibility and certainly reduce the costs of being in this business going forward.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Mike Phoebus with Mercury Research. Please go to your question.
Hi. I know you can't speak for Samsung or Mitsubishi, but I'm wondering what their role in long-term alpha manufacturing will be, given the agreement.
Bob, I think that one's yours.
Well, this agreement doesn't preclude a continuing relationship with Mitsubishi and Samsung, and it's Digital's intent to maintain that relationship, both of whom have taken licenses to specific implementations of alpha. It's also quite possible that we will license other semiconductor manufacturers, and so the whole nature of the agreement is pro-competitive.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Tom Bogan with Putnam Investments. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I'd like to know what else you're planning to make in this deck factory at the Hudson, Massachusetts, because you indicated you're going to run it at full tilt. That will be pretty hard on the alpha, I would think.
Craig?
Well, the intent right now, and this depends exactly on when we receive government approval, is to put our quarter micron technology into that facility as rapidly as possible. And we have a broad range of products we can choose from. And timing and products will depend on government timing, approval timing.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Bob Finch with Olive Investment. Please go to your question.
There's some speculation that the cancellation of the Fort Worth fab might have been related to this, and could you explain a little more about what was going into that fab? I've heard two stories, one flash business being weak, and the other being that it was designed for 12-inch wafers, and the equipment wasn't ready for that.
The primary driver for the decision to delay the Fort Worth fab by a year, it was our reconsideration of what we would build in Fab 18, which is our new Israeli fab. We moved that from a flash factory to a logic factory. That was the primary driver of the decision to delay Fort Worth, but obviously we took this decision in acquiring this capital asset into consideration in making those decisions.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Richard Doherty with Envisioneering. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, please. How does this arrangement affect the processor architecture teams in Massachusetts, Jerusalem, and Texas?
Bob?
And will they be enhancing Alpha?
Well, the processor architecture teams that are related to Alpha will be unaffected because they'll remain Digital employees. Processor-related teams that are related to StrongArm and other peripheral chips like PCI bridges, graphics chips, and everything else but Alpha and Alpha-related will become Intel employees, or at least have the opportunity to do so.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Don Young with Prudential Securities. Please go ahead with your question. Don Young. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, I was wondering, this is a question for Bob Palmer. Beyond the support requirement for VMS software, why would a DEC customer want to continue to buy Alpha, particularly when NT and DEC Unix begin shipping on Merced? In other words, why should there be critical mass and support for Alpha at that point in time?
It would be a function of the performance advantage for the specific applications the customer wanted to run. It's just like in the automotive industry, why are there 4-cylinder, 6-cylinder, 8-cylinder, and even 12-cylinder engines? Because it fundamentally depends on what task you're trying to do. The Alpha architecture is a very clean architecture, and we believe that we will be able to maintain a substantial performance advantage in some applications. And so that would be the reason. But clearly the marketplace will decide, depending on the success of the Merced architecture, which we also are very optimistic about.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Sean Olstick with Forrester Research. We've got a fair question.
Yes, I'm wondering what time frame you expect to see digital Unix on IA64. And kind of a related question is, when will we see IA64 in production for servers of the type of capacity that Alpha is?
Craig?
Well, I answer the last part. We're on record with the introduction of the IA64 lead product, Merced, in the 99 timeframe.
Bob, can you take the first part?
Yes, with respect to Unix, our desire is to have it available when systems are available based on IA64. We don't know if we can achieve that yet because we don't know enough about the new architecture and what would be involved in getting our Unix and getting the support from Intel. But clearly this is in the industry's best interest in that Digital has a 5-year mature design from the get-go 64-bit Unix operating system, and it's our desire to get that ported to IA64, not only for our customers, but for other systems companies that recognize they can't continue to engineer their specific proprietary versions of Unix. We will be quite generous in terms, and we hope to establish digital 64-bit Unix as a standard on IA64.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Zach Garrity with First Boston. Please go to your question.
Could you just describe the development operations, as the press release said, in Jerusalem, Israel, and Austin, Texas? What have they been doing, and what might they be doing?
We have very capable design engineers in each of those locations, and depending on the location, they have been focusing on different things. In Jerusalem, the primary focus has been on network chips and chips related to internet working. In Austin, it's been on the strong arm chips, and Palo Alto has been on a variety of chips, including strong arm and previously Alpha related. So we have some very capable, obviously with our integrated circuits, design engineers that will have the opportunity to join Intel.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Jonathan Unick with Illuminata. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, for Mr. Barrett. How does continuing the strong arm and the PCI chips, the Ethernet chips, how does all that fit into your strategy?
Well, we've had a long history in the embedded processor, embedded control marketplace, and strong arm is a potential candidate to fit into that general product area. We also have a major emphasis in networking products everywhere from silicon on up through network interface cards and servers and routers and switches. So I think that the Jerusalem design team will fit nicely into that product area. So we think there's a good match with both of those into our existing product lines.
Thank you, Craig. Next question, please.
Joe Austin with John 11 and Company. Please go ahead with your question.
I just wondered, are there specific output targets in the agreement for Alpha chips?
We don't comment on any specific aspects of the agreement.
Next question, please.
Rajiv Chowdhury, Digital Century Capital. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, good morning. I was wondering if you can talk about what, if any, implications there are for the architecture of Merced as a result of this agreement.
None. Next question, please.
George Weiss with Gartner Group. Please go ahead with your question.
What's the commitment by Intel for the period that the maximum period that they will continue to manufacture Alpha chips, beyond which they have no then commitment to digital anymore?
As I said, the details of the agreement are confidential.
Next question, please.
Scott Nirenbursky with DMG. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, good morning. To what extent can either company incorporate each other's microprocessor technology into their products? And if Digital were to be acquired, would the acquiring company have access to Intel processor technology?
Tom, please.
The last question on acquisition is gets into the details of the agreement. On the first question, this is a typical cross-license where both parties have the right to use each other's patents in its own independent design. So it gives design freedom by both companies.
Thank you, Tom. Next question.
Ron Chemlinski with Hamburg & Quist. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi. Can you tell me in what way this will impact the relationship with AMD and the K6 for Digital? Thank you.
There's no direct impact with respect to any of our other suppliers. And so AMD being a supplier, there's no particular direct impact that I'm aware of.
Thank you, Bob. Next question.
Susan Amos with Computer Weekly. Please go ahead with your question.
What will it mean for VMS customers if Intel's manufacturing the Alpha chip, if Intel is in control of the chip?
Well, Intel will be manufacturing Alpha to Digital specifications, and so fundamentally it doesn't have an implication for the VMS customers except that they can be assured of multiple generations of high-performance Alpha systems to run VMS. If anything, it makes them more secure, in my judgment.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Joanne Wallen with Computergram International. Please go ahead with your question.
The San Jose Mercury has suggested that the agreement is far short of what Digital was seeking. Does Mr. Palmer have a comment on that?
Well, as I said previously, we think that this is a very good agreement for our customers, our employees, our partners, and therefore our shareholders. Our board of directors approved it. We believe it delivers significant value to Digital, and we're pleased that it does so at an acceptable cost to Intel. We're looking forward to the restoration of our normal relation with Intel. So we're quite satisfied with the agreement.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Mary Helmick with SoundView. Please close your question.
Yes, I gather from your comments just now then that this is the agreement, that there isn't a bunch of additional revenues to be paid for cross-licensing or for additional discounts beyond preferred customer discounts.
Again, much of what you're asking is in the confidential details of the contract. I will mention that there will be some payments from Intel to Digital for the patent cross-license, but these will be immaterial from an Intel financial perspective.
Next question, please.
Stephen Milanovich with Merrill Lynch, please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, just to follow up on that, I wonder, Bob, if you could comment on whether those payments are non-material from DEC's perspective. And I just want to clarify a previous answer from Intel's standpoint that you would not use any Digital technology in Merced, and then would that apply equally to future IA products?
Bob, why don't you take the first half of that, and we'll take the second.
Well, again, the first half relates to a detail, Steve, relative to whether it'll be reported or not as a matter for the chief financial officer of the company, and we certainly will comply with all of the SEC requirements, so I really don't know the answer to that question.
Tom Dunlap, why don't you take the second half?
I did.
I'll get the second half. The earlier question was, would this agreement mean any change in the designer content of Merced? I answered no. The product's well in the design stage. And I think your second question is relative to will there be any DEC intellectual or Digital intellectual property incorporated into future generations. That's very difficult to ascertain at this time, but the patent cross-license agreement between the two companies gives us design freedom to incorporate Digital intellectual property into future designs.
Thanks, Greg. Next question, please.
Barry Shannon with Shannon Knows DEC. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, good morning. It's good to see a mutually beneficial resolution to the recent unpleasantness. I'd like to know if this agreement entitles Intel to exploit Digital's binary code translation technology capabilities, and if so, what's the likelihood of this happening?
I think that's one of the details of the agreement that we don't want to get into.
Thank you. Next question, please.
William Hilton with Brown Brothers Harriman. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, for Craig Barrett, if you were to assume for a minute you were to take control of the facility today, what other products would you be producing there? I believe the facility is only about 50% utilized with Alpha. So what plans do you have?
Again, if we get expeditious approval by the government, we'll put our quarter micron technology in, and that quarter micron technology would probably can run either processors or peripheral chipsets through processors. There's a wide variety of products we could put in to make use of that quarter micron technology.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Jay Stevens with Buckingham Research. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, a question for both of you relative to timing. I know there's a government approval involved, but what would be a most optimistic date to get this all going and for Intel to take over the facility in Massachusetts?
You want an optimum date or a realistic
date? Optimistic or pessimistic, however you want to approach it.
Well, I'd love it to happen in 30 days, but...
We know that's not the case.
I would hope we would have approval sometime in the 3 to 6 month time frame.
And is everything on hold then, operating, both companies operating as they are now until that time?
The nature of the agreement is that it requires government approval before any part of the agreement is implemented.
Thank you. Next question.
Michael Slater with Microprocessor Report. Please go to your question.
As the fab is converted to an Intel process technology, my understanding is the Intel and digital processes are quite different. So is it possible for Intel to build anything in that fab before converting the process? And once the process is converted, will it indeed be possible to build the Alpha chips without significant change?
Michael, the equipment sets are substantially different. There's some overlap, and where there's overlap, we'll make use of that as we put our technology in. But we'll be putting a healthy new equipment set in for our quarter micron technology.
Next question, please.
Brian Richardson with Meta Group. Please go to your question.
Yes, could you comment specifically on the plans to port OpenVMS to IA64, please?
We have not looked at the technical complexity with that. We don't really know enough about the Merced architecture to know if that is a realistic thing to do. We're confident about Unix and Windows NT, obviously, but we'll have to study that as more information becomes available, and we intend to study it.
Okay, we have time for one more question.
Gerard Muchner with Bloomberg, please go to your question.
I'm wondering if any of the employees will be laid off, and if so, to whom does the burden of severance and all that fall, Intel or digital?
It's Intel's intent to offer employment to essentially all the digital employees, and as we're planning to ramp the facility as rapidly as possible, and we think we have a good overlap with the two design teams, the one in Israel and the one in Texas, we're not anticipating any layoffs.
Okay, thank you all for joining us. I'd like to turn it back to Dan, who will give you a replay number. Dan?
Thanks, Chuck. This concludes the Digital Intel teleconference. There is a post-view line for the next 24 hours at 1-800-633-8284 in the U.S. and 303-248-1201 for international callers. Thank you for calling in.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. You may all disconnect, and thank you for participating.